Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. As I begin today's program, I want to say, and you're going to hear me saying it a number of times over these weeks, remember, we're in the season of Pentecost. Is God the Holy Spirit? Is He, how can I put this? Is He accessible? In other words, do you call upon Him? Do you seek Him when you begin a new activity? Do you seek Him when you're mulling over a problem? Do you seek Him when you're trying to sort out what you need to do and when? Do you seek Him? Do you seek Him about relationships? Bring everything to the Holy Spirit, because it is the Holy Spirit, the love of the Father for the Son and the Son for the Father. That love has been given you in baptism. That love has been, and the gifts of that love have been firmly established in confirmation, so that what you have received, you in turn can give. Are you living in the power of Pentecost? And it's not a complicated thing. Lord, activate all the graces of my baptism and confirmation. How many times have I said that? Do you pray that? Do you pray that every day? We're living in the season of Pentecost. This is a time to thank the Lord for all He has given us. It's a time to read the catechism in the section on the sacrament of confirmation, on the sacrament of baptism. Read what you have been given and then ask God to activate those things in your life. Please. Today, the church offers us a reading from the letter of St. James, chapter 5, 1 to 6. And in this letter, James is clearly telling people what to do. I'm afraid in some cases if a priest got up and said these things to you, people would walk out of the church, because we don't like to be offended, and sometimes we need to be challenged. We get so comfortable in what we're doing that we don't even see sometimes how we don't receive from Christ what He wants to give us. We don't hear the calls that He gives us to turn to that person or that person. We don't hear the wisdom He wants to pour out upon us, because we're not listening and we're not asking for it. We're depending on ourselves. So in this letter, James really goes after certain people. Now, take a look at it in the light of yourself. See what applies to you here. Come now, you rich. A lot of you, most of you will say, oh, well, then this doesn't apply to me. Just keep listening. This is about the wealth at first. Come now, you rich, weep and wail over your impending misery. Why? Because your wealth has rotted away. Your clothes have become moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and that corrosion will be a testimony against you. It will devour your flesh like a fire. In other words, you have used the wealth you have received for your own selfish purposes. You've focused on self, and God does not love that. God will speak against that, because there are the poor and the weak and the suffering. If you've been given wealth, yes, take care of your family. But if you've been given wealth, you need to look and seek and search for where you should be putting it to work. Not to benefit you, but to benefit the poor. You have stored up treasure for the last days. Behold, the wages you withheld from the workers who harvested your fields are crying aloud. So unjust to those who work for you. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. Scripture tells us that. You have lived on earth in luxury and pleasure. You have fattened your hearts for the day of slaughter. You have condemned. You have murdered the righteous one. He offers you no resistance. God allows you to exercise your own free will. But, oh, brothers and sisters, we will render an account. And it doesn't, don't point your fingers at the exceptionally wealthy. Take a look at yourself. What do you have that's extra? What do you have that's extra? You'd be tempted to say nothing, but honestly, what do you have that's extra? Could you have one less Starbucks a week and do something for someone who is poor? Could you give up a meal out in order to serve someone, maybe even in your own neighborhood, who is in need? You don't have to be exceptionally wealthy to come under this judgment from God. What have you done with what is extra? Ah, this is for me. I've worked hard for this. And yes, of course you can do something for yourself, but not to the exclusion of the poor. And if it's a choice between you and the poor, you want to give it to the poor. That's what God asks of us. Psalm 49, blessed are the poor in spirit. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? It means to recognize that you are not the source of your wealth or your prestige or your power, or your influence, or your degrees, your titles. Yes, you may have worked hard, but God gave you those gifts, and he gave them that he might be glorified in the earth and that all men and women might have what they need to live. And you, if you are wealthy, have been made a steward of that. It's not yours. You say, well, I worked very hard for this. Yes, it is mine. You would not have been able to work very hard. You would not have been successful unless God blessed you. What have you done with what you've been given? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Fear not when a man grows rich, when the wealth of his house becomes great, for when he dies, he shall take none of it. His wealth shall not follow him down. When you die, everything is equal. You can't buy admittance into the kingdom of heaven. You can't influence and have someone speak for you unless that one who speaks for you is Jesus, in whom you trusted in this life. Be very careful. Those of you who have been given great wealth have great responsibility. And the gospel for today is taken from the Gospel of Mark, Chapter 9, verses 41 to 50. Jesus said to his disciples, anyone who gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen, I say to you, will surely not lose his reward. In other words, the very smallest thing given out of generosity of heart to someone in greater need than you, God sees. And God will reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, this is the other side. Now, if you cause someone to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than with two hands to go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. In other words, brothers and sisters, no excuses. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life crippled than with 2 feet to be thrown into hell, basically, into Gehenna. These are strong words, brothers and sisters, and we need to take them as such. And if you are poor and you're listening to this program, don't think, well, I'm off the hook. I don't have anything, so therefore I'm not guilty. Do you envy those who have wealth? Are you angry with those who have wealth? Do you throw yourself a pity party all the time because you don't have? Brothers and sisters, either way, we can sin. If we've been given much, we need to make sure that we recognize we are only stewards and that it is God who tells us what we're to do with what he has given us. And if we're very poor, it's to put all our hope and our confidence in God and not in ourselves. Are we living what we should be living? If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. In other words, it doesn't mean actually pluck out your eye. What it does mean is that you take serious steps to change. If your eye causes you to sin, where am I going to go? What am I going to look at? What am I going to allow myself to see? What am I going to cut off so that my eyes no longer cause me to sin? You can apply that to every sense. What do I need to change? And sometimes we just need to cut off relationships, cut off habits and patterns, and put all our trust in him. Better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into Gehenna, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt becomes insipid, with what will you restore its flavor? Keep salt in yourselves, and you will have peace with one another. We need to be salted, brothers and sisters, with the fire of the Holy Spirit. The fire of the Holy Spirit burns and purifies. The fire of the Holy Spirit also ignites and fans into a flame what God has given us. The question is, how much am I relying on the Holy Spirit? Am I really turning to God? Am I really seeking his gifts, or am I just seeking the gifts of this world? Or am I in frustration grabbing hold of anything that the world offers because I feel so poor, either physically or mentally or spiritually, that I don't know what to do? Turn to him. Cry out to him, as the psalmist says, full-throated and unsparingly. Cry out to God, and he will hear you, and he will answer. But remember, how many times have I told you, it's not like going into some fast food place drive-through and you just give them your money and they give you your food. You have immediate satisfaction. With God, brothers and sisters, he is Lord over time. But you bow down before him. You present your need to him. He will hear you. He answers us sometimes in surprising ways. He makes us wait sometimes. Do not be afraid, for he hears the cry of the poor. He hears the cry of the poor. Brothers and sisters, the Lord really desires to use us as salt and light to all the people around us. Receive what God has for you, that you may be used for his glory. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.